This episode of the Hot Seat Podcast is brought to you by All Black Everything and Wise Guy Cigars. Check out their line of men's and women's apparel at allblackeverything247.com. Don't chase the paper, chase the dream.
You're listening to the Hot Seat Podcast. Welcome all, I'm Sean, along with my co-host Earl.
What's going on?
Eric.
Girl, you know it's true. I love you.
Oh my God. And Dave.
Yes, sir.
And of course, we did some dads with mics, gamers with headsets, and a whole lot of unfiltered conversation. Episode 24 of the All Black Everything series brought to you by allblackeverything247.com and Wise Guy Cigars. What's happening? How we doing? How your mama doing? You know how I go.
Earl up in his mama kitchen right now.
He is. Yeah,
I'm showing my desk. I had to get the kid.
Those some nice cabinets.
You ain't lying.
It is. You know, she just got it redone.
Yeah, right. He is living up to his whole moniker, the New Jersey Fat Boy, because folks, he is dead ass broadcasting from his mama's kitchen
and chewing,
eating water. drinking water and eating food snacks. So. Yeah, I'm not proud of this, but
yes, he is.
Hey, man, you ain't got to judge me. I feel like there's a.
Hey, what wasn't your plant based supposed to start already?
It did, but I'm, you know, it's called backsliding. Yeah,
backsliding one day.
He backslided on the first day.
This is the day that you started. How do you backslide on your?
I didn't start today. I started on Monday.
Well, shit. Monday was yesterday, I think. Yeah. Or no, it was a couple days ago. Man. I don't know.
I still had plant based food. I just messed up. I had some, you know, fruit snacks, yo.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yep. The kid stressed me out today. I don't know.
So, which means you are never gonna be plant based.
No, that's all right.
Because your kid is always gonna stress you.
Listen. It's a process. You just step by step. You know what I'm saying? When cats is on drugs and cats is you know, alcoholics. You know what I mean? They have little setbacks here and there.
Got it. Right. So you need like a nicotine patch or something. That's basically
maybe.
It. Okay, yeah, got it.
Pretty much, you should just plant your ass on the I can't do it list. That's pretty much what you should do.
No, I could do it, but you know.
Oh, you got a glass of water?
Where you got a glass of water?
Oh, that's cute.
But hold on. You know I always drink this, though. Anytime we on the podcast, y'all be like, y'all drinking beers and stuff. I'm drinking water.
Right. Thank you, Dave. I salute. You know, this podcast is not brought to you by Termana Tequila. That's a Rocks line, but you know, whatever. That's Bush beer. And if y'all wonder what we're talking about, our wonderful co-host Dave is in the process of growing undercarriage underneath his neck skin. He got a little thing going on.
You got nothing across your chin, son. Like, I'm just looking at that joint. Like, it literally is all up under your neck. It's not even going across your chin.
I told you. Look, yeah, I know how I feel. Dave, you got 3 days to make that shit connect because you know I don't trust no motherfucker who chin strap and his bust ass don't connect. So you got 3 days to fix it. Fix it.
I'll get the color line.
Right.
I can't even talk because my junk.
Yeah, you got a face like a 12-year-old boy, so we don't want to hear it right now.
I got the 1970 pork chops.
Right.
So, you know,
even that is fat right now. You in the kitchen talking about pork chops.
Yeah, and the fact but that, I mean, yeah. But I ain't about that light. But now, you know what made me mad one day, yo? I'll never forget this. I was on the shore, right? And I, you know, the cats that's on the shore, there used to be a barbershop. Like you're going to, I think it was in Prince's Inn, but you're going towards like Crisfield area. It was in the cut. But anyway, I was growing my junk. I was like, yo, maybe, you know what I'm saying? I was feeling myself. I was like, I'm woofing. Maybe I can make it work. Right. So it was this old black dude barber, yo. I really didn't want him to cut my hair because my barber wasn't in there, but I was pressed for time. So I was like, come on, man. So he looked at me and he was like, I was like, yeah, just going to line it up, you know, just line this up and stuff like that. He was like, okay, you want me to connect it? I was like, I got hyped. I was like, yeah, because I didn't think I could connect it. So I think he got halfway through the cut. he stopped, and I'm like, what's wrong? He was like, he stepped back and looked at me. He was like, yeah, man. Yeah, I thought I was going to be able to connect it, but you ain't got enough head ass. So, yeah, I'm going to have to, we're going to have to make a decision. You want me to cut this little patch off? So I was like, yeah, let me just cut it off, man. He had me gassed up, bro. So at that point, I was like, I can't grow a beard. Yeah. I can't grow a beard.
You know, because I love you, bro. I'm going to donate some of my beard hair, bro.
Nah, man.
Wow,
you got a permanent beard. It doesn't go with my threads. Okay.
I told you his beard is a living entity. It has a name.
No gray hairs in it. Like you brush that thing and comb it like every day. Like you count it out.
Facts every day.
Count it out, bro.
Every day.
You probably got a comb or brush in your pocket right now.
Right. You know, facts. You know, they call me Gandalf the Light Skin for a reason. I can't lie to you.
You're stupid. Facts. Sorry, they're greedy.
Right. Now, you know, now, let me, this is a hell of a transition, but I'm going to tell you something that made me angry. You know, you're angry about your facial hair. You know what I'm saying? It made me angry over the weekend, which is crazy because I don't even think the DMV be open sometime on Saturdays. But you know what was open? The Senate floor was open, and they had something called a not impeachment that happened. If you didn't notice, our once non-illustrious president, who is no longer in office, was up for his second time being impeached. And it went down. It was probably one of the fastest, not probably, it was the fastest impeachment trial ever. It started on the 9th of February and it finished on the 13th, 4 days. You get mail in longer times than that. But they voted. 57-43, acquittal. It needs 67 to actually impeach said person, with 7 of those 57 being Republicans who voted to, you know, voted he was guilty. What was he guilty of, if you're wondering? He was actually being charged with inciting the now non-infamous, in my opinion, January 6th insurrection, what they coined it as, at the Capitol. Anybody got any feedback on that, or you know, I want to go on a rant because that can get sideways real fast, and we only got an hour or so. Nah.
Man, I can say that pretty much. I know we were paying attention to what you know incited everybody and stuff like that, but right. The eye-opening part to me that I don't care who you are. What side you're on that you can't fake the funk on it with two things. Number one, this rally was originally planned for December. He had a conversation with the leader of the rally, and he's the one that switched it to January 6th. And then they didn't have the route to actually, like the clearance to get down to the Capitol. Mm-hmm. Guess who gave them permission to do that? So, that's my first point. That right there already just takes everything off the table for him. But secondly, even if you're on the Republican side, this man, his response time or unresponse time after everything was going on and the conversation and the breaking news that was actually real breaking news for once for CNN,
right?
when the trial was about to end, was his conversation with a fellow Republican. And he's basically trying to put it on everybody else except for his supporters. And then he basically tells that person, he says to him, well, it seems like they care more about the, you know, the results of the election than you do. Now, of course, he gave his famous response.
Not just the person, but the House Minority Leader.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And he gave his famous response of, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? Mm-hmm. You know? So I definitely want to say that on the podcast. I'm sorry I had to go. Mm-hmm. But I put that out there because think about it, man. This man, while everything was going on, while these people are in there chanting, we're here for Trump and we're here to hang Pence, you know, and shoot Nancy Pelosi and things like that. This man is sitting back going, nah, everything's good. I don't need to call nobody. This is while everything's going on. Just those two things right there. Forget the speech. Just those two things right there should already wrap it up. So that lets you know McConnell's little speech at the end.
Trash.
Trash. It's whatever.
You ain't shit. He gets the shit award.
That's for the rest of his life, bro.
Ricardo, you ain't shit.
But you know the one thing I don't want to hear is none of these people that support Trump. And honestly, even these cats as Republican, I don't want to hear nobody talking about patriotism. Yeah, all them cats owe Cap an apology. I want to hear shit about patriotism because this was the fact that those cats, 43 of these Republicans voted not guilty. Mm-hmm. That is the most unpatriotic act that I feel like. What was done in a while?
You mean the Republicans?
Yeah, according to them, according to Mitch McConnell, he was constitutionally not eligible for conviction.
No. One of them today said, "Oh, everything was fine. They didn't even have weapons." Mm. That's what he said today.
So I'm glad you said that, Dave. Let's go kill this whole thing. So. Again, like for those who don't know what an insurrection is, it became popular all of a sudden. I feel like either CNN, Fox, MSNBC, PBS, You See Me, I don't care what the fuck you're looking for. Somehow they popularized, stop me if I get out of the way. They popularized this term of insurrection. So we saw what went down. I'm not going to go start calling names, but we saw what happened with who and how it all transpired. But let me give you the actual definition of an insurrection. Insurrection is a violent uprising against an authority or government. And I'm going to give you two particular insurrections that are actually, they may or may not be famous ones, but let me know what you think about it. So one was the Wilmington insurrection of 1898. You got to fact check me on this because trust me, believe, I got my facts for this. I'm already prepared for you. So a quick Cliff Notes version. So on the morning of November 10th in 1898, a group of like 2,000 armed white men.
Allegedly. No, I'm just saying allegedly because we don't know his facts, but go
right,
ahead.
Right. So apparently. So they stormed the streets of a port down in Wilmington, North Carolina. And it's pretty much was spurned on by like white supremacists and such. So they went in and they were looking for like some politicians, businessmen, burned a bunch of offices of a lot of prominent African-American individuals, and specifically an African-American newspaper. And then it started a big thing in that regard. Pretty much as it happened, these rioters, in this case, they went down to City Hall and then they forced the town's mayor to resign along with a lot of several black aldermen. Of course, you know, they seized control of the local government. About 60 black citizens actually died, and several thousand more, they actually left. So while it looked like a race riot, what actually allegedly took place was actually a rebellion, quote unquote, by a bunch of white business leaders and actually Democrats or Democratic politicians. Pretty much their intent was to really get rid of the city's biracial majority Republican government. It was a power struggle. That's what it was. So you had
the results.
So you had some prominent black folks in charge, and they decided that, hey, we're gonna take them out. Kind of sounds similar to what happened down at the Capitol. You know, yeah, a group of people didn't like what they saw. They got in their feelings and decided to run up on people. In this case, though, you know, people actually died. In this case, let's go to another prominent insurrection. Y'all know this one, though. Anybody know familiar with the Southampton insurrection? Mm-mm. 1831. You know a gentleman by the name of Nat Turner?
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So if you go look at that one there. So Nat Turner, it was a case where, you know, they were armed. He was a preacher, actually, and armed enslaved black people who rose up against their slave masters and such. Of course, they ended that insurrection in a few days. You know, if you've seen the movie, what's the film? I forget. It was
what's his name? With Nate Parker?
Yeah, that's a whole nother story there. So they went in. Pretty much, it was slaves fighting for their freedom, as most of our stories are told as. So
this ain't about Rosewood, is it?
No, it ain't Rosewood. They ain't, ain't Rosewood. It's Rosewood. It was, but you know, hell, those stories go hand in hand in many cases, though. So
they all similar.
So somehow, and I said all that to say this. Somehow, the prominent folks at CNN and their breaking news asses and all these other people decided, hey, we're gonna dub this fiasco that happened down at the Capitol as a insurrection. Really, that's what they coined it as. And by doing so, it disregarded actually what took place in that regard, which is really, you know, as Dave pointed out, you had this man in office who didn't get his way, incited a bunch of angry supporters of his to go down and act the monkey at the riots with little to no casualties, except for a couple that we've heard about. And even then, that's presented in a way that I don't even want to discuss. And then we heard about people getting like arrested. I'm pretty sure you saw like videos and stuff, people getting, you know, caught up as they flying out. That was like a handful of them, even though there was thousands of people there. And that, you know, that came and went. That was January 6th, which is what, you know, we're about over a month ago and you ain't heard nothing else about it. So yeah, that. And then you got this quick impeachment trial. And it's like that, like nothing ever happened. Even though at the time everybody will tell you that it was in that building, we were fleeing for our lives. We were, you know, we were scared. They were they were rubbing shit on the walls and they were coming to hang the vice president. But, you know, his words were taken out of context. So yeah, not guilty. Now, throw a little edge on the fire. And on top of that, they flew the actual Confederate flag on the floor. Like in the building, which has never happened ever. Now, we're all familiar with how the whole Black Lives Matter thing went throughout 2020 and such. Imagine if that group of people happened to make it past them steps without being killed, which we know how that goes, and somebody had a Black Lives Matter flag on the floor in the Capitol. Would have been an insurrection then? I doubt it. We know the terms.
Your story would have never happened because we would have never made it to the steps. Yeah, exactly. But continue.
Damn it, I was waiting for somebody to do that. That's what I'm talking about. So.
Yes, you said on the floor.
Right. Right. And just like that. You're still going to have, and you know, the fact that just like that, we're going to move on to other news because this will be like it. You know, you'll still hear about Trump and all that other bullshit, but you're going to forget that he was impeached technically twice and it was like acquitted by the Senate side twice. You know, and so that means he's still eligible for public office and they talking all the bull about, you know, criminal charges and all that other stuff. All right. Yeah. Whatever.
Hey, listen, at the end of the day, man, we knew what was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? What we knew was going to happen, happened. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So there's no shocker here.
Right.
It is, at this point, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of on to the next one. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, but, you know, I hope it does open. It ain't going to open any Democrats or, you know, Black people, you know, eyes. I just hope it opens the eyes of these Republicans who didn't agree with the actions that took place on January 6th. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because I talked to Dave about this. I think that the Trump, what do they call them? Trumplicans or Trumpers or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm. I still think that they represent a small percentage of Republicans. You know what I'm saying? Some people disagree with me, but I still think they represent a small percentage of Republicans. You know what I'm saying? They still, you know, the Republicans still got like a wild turnout, but that's because they was voting for their party. You know what I'm saying? And that's the one thing I give Republicans, like, and you saw it on Friday when they voted, they stick together.
Right
or wrong, they stick together.
You said something that stood out, Earl, the fact that, you know, how, you know, what we think about it and, you know, we knew how it was going to turn out. And this actually is going to lead us into a really good segment tonight with our guests. Again, you guys listen to Sean. You listen to the Hot Seat Podcast with your boys Sean, Earl, Eric, and Dave. And tonight we have actually a special guest tonight from Living Well Counseling and Consultant Services, Dr. Malika Johnson and William Johnson. So our conversation tonight, as we get ready to bring them on, is going to take us down that road to, and this being all black everything, you know, the mindset of that clinical aspect, that mental aspect of it. And you said something for how we think about it. You know, we look at what's happening there, and we're looking at the obvious inequalities in that, and how that affects the mental aspect of a lot of things, not just this, but you know, political, financial, you know, relationships, how I feel and such. But it's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a fun night indeed. It's going to get heavy, but it's going to be educational and everything else in between. Everything else in between. So as we get ready to bring them both on, tonight's going to be not a hot seat podcast first, but it's definitely going to be a wonderful experience for us.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Johnson.
Hi, yes.
This is Sean from the Hot Seat Podcast. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Sean?
Pretty good. All right. So I got you on. So I'm going to get your husband on now to get us all timed in, and then we're going to give our official introduction, and we're going to go from there. Okay. So I'm going to place you on a brief hold as I bring him in on the other line. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Got it.
Hello.
Mr. Johnson, how you doing? This is Sean from the Hot Seat Podcast.
Hey, how are you, man?
Pretty good, man. All right, so I got your wife on the other end. Dr. Johnson, are you there?
I'm here.
Mr. Johnson, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, there we go. This is Sean from the Hot Seat Podcast. We welcome you both on. So before we go any further, we're going to do a quick tech check to make sure you can hear the guys. So fellas, let the Johnsons know who you are and make sure they can hear you and vice versa. Earl?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Earl Wallace. How you guys doing?
Hi, Earl.
All right. How are you?
I'm good.
What's going on, everybody? This is Dave.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Dave?
All right.
Yeah, this is the great one, Eric, also known as Mr. Johnson's Dean.
Hi, Eric.
All right.
That's my dean.
We're more than happy to bring you on. We've been looking forward to this particular episode, having you both on. So I know I'm calling Dr. Johnson. So Mr. Johnson, should I call you with any other adjective, or is it just Mr. Johnson gonna be enough? Or should I call you William?
The dude in the kitchen.
Got my attention already.
Fair enough.
I got a couple we can call him. I don't know if he wants people to know it.
Oh man. This is a family show. Not really.
I'm about to say it is.
Not really a family show. All right. So first and foremost, let our listeners know who you are. Let them know about Living Well. Give us a quick Cliff Notes version, and we'll keep going from there.
Okay, babe, you want me to go, or you good? Yeah.
You can go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, that's cute right there. I like that.
I like it.
So Living Well was, we had thought about forming our own company about 4 or 5 years ago. And Living Well was just birthed last year, 2020, January. And so what happened was we were going through a lot of struggle and strife and things ourselves and had to reevaluate our own life. And we all actually took a note out of our doctor's page who said, you guys need to find some healthy boundaries and relax and live your life and not work so hard all the time. And so fast forward to 2020, that's where the name Living Well came from. We had started making some changes in our life because out of our grief that we had lost a lot of family members. We had lost some things financially. So out of our grief, we started evaluating our own life and it gave birth to Living Well. And so what it is not just a company where I do counseling and services and do therapy, because I'm a therapist. But we also thought about helping others do well and helping others in their suffering and in their struggle to live and not just exist. Like we were just existing. We were just surviving. We wanted people to see that you can live even in your struggle. So that's where it came from, the Cliff Notes in a nutshell. So, and the other part that I leave out is I am a social work. My background is in social work, but I do therapy with individuals. And so we work with them in the evenings because I do have another daytime job, but I do evening care and weekend care for the working person. So if you want, and in counseling, you can see me in the evening when you get off of work. Gotcha. Did I miss anything, Bay?
No. I think that's pretty much it. It's, the only thing that I would add is that, you know, I mean, we both are Christians, and the well in which Jesus was given the water, and that's where we kind of not liking ourselves to Jesus, but you know, giving life to people. You know, and that sounds like the symbolism of our well. You know, because you know, water is like one of the most important things that you need.
You Absolutely.
Know? So if we can help provide something for someone in whatever way, you know, that we're fulfilling a purpose. And you know, there are a couple other business ideas that are going to come from the Living Well. We're not ready to put them out there yet, but it's you know, we have other plans in the making. But it's all based on not just trying to improve yourself and improve your situation, whether it's financially, spiritually, whatever the case may be, it's also being able to do that and give to someone else. You know, everybody can drink all the water by themselves, so don't try to. You know what I'm saying? Give some of that water to somebody else. But that's just kind of how we try to live our lives. We believe that business should be, you know, the way I treat you in whatever business I'm in. It's the same way I'm going to treat my wife, my kids, and my mama. We just hope that we're able to do that, and let the client, you know, the client see that. And you know, my wife is the, you know, she's the face of the business. She is the one that makes it work. I'm just in the background, kind of supporting best I can with what I got.
All right, Mr. Johnson.
More than that.
Now, for the sake of being completely transparent, and you said a couple of key things. You said the word Christian. And then you said water. I'm gonna let you know right now, my glass has tequila in it right now. So I mean, Jesus turned water into wine. You might have did tequila at this point. I'm not really sure.
If I wasn't working, I'd have you some Jack and Coke in mind.
One thing I did see, and I thought it was really and me being in the same position at one point, I saw that you actually served, correct me if I'm wrong, served in the United States Marine Corps, correct?
Yes.
So first, I salute you. Oh, thank you for your service in that regard. I'm prior Army myself. So mental health is something that is very, very, very important, especially to those members of, you know, active, you know, retired veteran and such. So I guess my question to you is how important is the aspect of educating those in the communities as far as on mental health, especially in the armed forces community when you do get that opportunity.
You want to take that now? Or you want me to answer that?
You can go ahead and I'll back up whatever you say.
Well, I mean, it's the dealing with mental health. And I'm not a clinician. Mm-hmm. Just put that out there.
Gotcha.
I do, you know, what I do in my full-time position, I do deal with a lot of mental health addictions and things of that nature, and understanding what the clinicians are trying to do. I think the biggest thing, regardless of whether it's dealing with mental health with someone from a military background or just someone who's seeking help, the biggest thing is for that person to be ready for it. You have to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. And the best thing that you could do is to, you know, make them feel at ease, make them feel comfortable when they come to talk to you, One thing that that my wife did that I think is, you know, you're not going to hear in other programs, is that that initial contact with her is to see if that's a fit. So that very first meeting, you know, that's you're not being charged for that. You're just having a meeting with her, gathering some information, having a conversation to determine if she's a good fit for you and if you're a good fit for her. And then that goes back to where you have to meet people where they are. That person might not be ready for it to talk to you at that time. They might not even understand the mental health process, but at least it's giving them an opportunity to experience it and experience it with no ties and experience it with no pressure and to get some general understanding. If you talk about different communities, the biggest community that I see through my experience is our community, the Black community. You know, we were taught, you don't talk about your business. You know, you take that in prayer. You talk to whoever, but you don't talk about your business to nobody. And you don't need no medicine, and you don't need nobody to come in and tell you what to do. So, you know, for our community to understand, one, there are mental health professionals out there that look like you and have experiences that you have experiences in. That's very important in getting people to understand the importance of mental health. So I think regardless of whether it's, and everyone's situation is different, you know what I'm saying? Because you're coming into a situation where, you know, you may be dealing with some extreme trauma, or you may be in a situation where you just having a rough time right now for whatever reason, whether you just lost your job, you just lost your parent, you know, your experience in a new area, you're being bullied, whatever the case may be. The biggest thing is to make sure people feel comfortable when they talk to you. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you can deal with the issue. Because if a person's not comfortable talking to you, if a person doesn't feel that you're genuinely there for them, then all of the treatment modalities are not going to matter because they're not going to talk to you. So I just think having an understanding, being patient with folks, and meeting them where they are is the key to having a good therapeutic relationship. But once again, I'm not a clinician, so you know, right. You know, I don't know what Mal's perspective is going to be on the point.
Well, so you said it perfectly. The only thing I would say to that point is part of it is about educating the public too, and educating our communities. And this is a great way to do that. Mm-hmm. If there's a lot of stigma surrounding mental health, and we. Often I heard the word, the C word, the bad word, crazy, you know, and I could, mm-hmm. like, right. If I go and see a therapist, I'm not crazy. I'm not going to do that. And so I just encourage people to get rid of that word, because at some point in time in our lives, there might be something that happens to us that we're going to need that help, that non-biased view from our family. You know, we love our families and we can go to them for support, but let's face it, sometimes they give us advice that we don't need. And so it's good to go to someone that can give you that opinion that is outside of what your family or your friends can give you. And one of my jobs is to go out and normalize getting and seeking help and not suffering in silence. My daytime job is at a university, and so that's my big push right now, is to normalize mental health and dispel stigmas about it. And so that's what I want to do in the community too. But when I sit down at an initial visit with someone, we just have like a regular conversation, because I want someone to feel comfortable, just like my husband said. And I don't want to be so stuffy and clinical that you don't want to come and talk to me. Because one thing you don't want to do is make people feel like they don't understand. You don't understand their point of view. So I want to hear your narrative. What is it that has happened to you? What do you need to say to me? And I want you to feel comfortable enough to do that. And I do that on the onset of the visit.
And Dr. Johnson, you know what? Just off of what you just said, that is one of the biggest things to me. It's the stigma of everything. You know, especially within our culture, I don't think a lot of people, like, think about the conversation that goes on when you say you're seeing somebody, and people sit back and they get that crazy mold around. Oh, you talking to somebody? What's going on? I didn't think it was that deep. Oh, man, you really got a lot going. So that's the conversation that goes on. So either they hold it in and they're seeing somebody, or they just don't see anybody at all, knowing that they need to. And me personally, I'm not so much of a, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything like that. I'm on the Williams side. I'm not a doctor. But I believe, I personally believe that mental health affects a whole lot more people than, you know, is in any type of stats. So the reason why I say that is, you know, stress is one of the biggest things that lead to any type of illness that's out there, any type of disease. They always say related to stress. So the question I want to ask both of you, actually, especially within in our country, which is work, 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 and then maybe a little bit of rest, and then work, work, work again. Can you really see people and educate people on really reaching the level of work-life balance?
So what were you asking? Do you see people address work-life balance? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, basically in the sense of, can do you see people come to you that can't get to the point in their minds of achieving a work-life balance because we're so much in a work, work, work society and not paying so much attention to ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I see people like that now.
Right.
I know we use the term worry well, and I know some people might not like that, but those people that just everyday people like you and I who are working and they don't have that work-life balance, and they're stretched to the max, meaning also they're stressed to the max. And then when you ask them about, well, do you take a break? Do you take vacations with your family? Yeah, but it's been 5 years. 5 years? What are you talking about? And so I do often see people that are like that. It's hard for them to see that it's okay to take a break and have fun. We were there. We really were there. I shared at the beginning, like, you know, we would go to our doctors and both of our blood pressure was high and we were just unhealthy and worried about everything. And she said, whoa, you guys, you need to slow down. You work a lot. You're in school. You got to slow down. So we were there. And so I know there's a lot more people out there that's like us. And I see those people show up at my practice. And so we wanted to show them that there are some options. In order for you to function properly, you have got to recover. And in order to recover your body and your mind, you have to take a break and you have to have that balance. Does that mean you have to go away on vacation? No, but maybe you can do a mini break on the weekend, or maybe you can do a staycation at home and put down your phone, your laptop, and everything else that will pull you back into work. You have really got to plan and schedule these things out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did as a couple, we decided to go on vacation every year. Now, COVID, we haven't been able to do that, but we've been doing things around the house to substitute for it. But we will go on vacations every year to find that balance and just to even just reconnect with each other. Right. So absolutely.
Okay.
Can I add to that?
Go ahead.
And I think another thing is, and everyone does not have a significant other, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. But sometimes it's good to have someone that could be that support or that sounding board for you. So right. I know as it relates to Mal and I is that, you know, when I see her grinding, you know, she's been working with doing some consulting, and she's been grinding with, because this lady's trying to get certification. And I have to tell her, hey, look, it's time to put that down.
It's time
for you to just take this time, get your nightly routine going, and everything's gonna work out. You know, so sometimes, you know, you have to take that break. But it's also good if you have someone, whether it's a family friend or whatever the case may be, you know, one of your frat brothers or, you know, your sorority sisters, whatever, someone that's going to be able to recognize, hey, look, you need to chill out. You know, you need to take some time for yourself, because when your mental health is not well, it's eventually going to show up in your physical health.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then once it hits that physical health, depending on how it manifests itself, that could be something you may or may not recover from. Mm-hmm. You know, so we do use the term worry well. And you know, and folks in the mental health community understand you have your chronically ill, and then you have your people who are just going through a rough spot. You know, so the worry well population are those people that grind until the body says, you know what, I'm done, and the body shuts you down. So you know, take time for yourself, take time with your family. You know, it's our plan was, no matter what, we gonna take a vacation. Whether we stay at home for a week or whether we get to go on a cruise, we gonna take a vacation. We're gonna leave everything here, you know. So if folks can just keep that in mind, you know, your mental health, you might not think it's affecting you, but if you're starting to have some physical issues that you like, man, where did this come from? Start checking your mental health. Start checking your stress levels. You know, start checking how you are actually decompressing from a stressful situation, because it's going to show itself one way or the other.
Yep, I agree. I mean, I'll say this: I'm an advocate for mental health. I mean, this is my 15th year in education, and I'm a behavior analyst. So I typically work with kids that have disabilities and kids that, you know, have behavior issues and things in that nature and other types of trauma, you know. So this is something that I always preach, you know, to the kids. But I'm gonna be vulnerable. Even though I'm preaching that to the kids, it took me a while to actually start, you know, living what I speak. You know, in terms of, I would say that what you guys were talking about earlier, where you say, like, you know, especially in our community, where we really kind of turn a blind eye to mental health, I was probably one of those people, you know, because I was one of those people that typically I like to internalize things before I like to, you know, invite other people into my issues, you know. And a lot of times I wouldn't even invite people into my, you know, issues because I, you know, that the process of me internalizing it, I would try to figure out how, you know, I could overcome it. And typically a lot of times I would figure it out, but I didn't realize until later that all I was really doing, I wasn't really solving the problem. All I was doing was suppressing it, you know, and I found out the hard way after having a panic attack for the first time in my life, you know, at 33, that, and this goes back to, you know, what Brother Will was saying, is that you see what type of toll it can have on you physically. You know, I had to go to the hospital to the point where I thought I was having a heart attack because I never had this feeling before. You know, so I just wanted to say that, you know, I understand definitely, you know, where we're coming from in terms of, you know, I was one of those people that I said, you know, the older folks say, just go to church, pray about it, you know, and you should still do that. But God put, you know, these other professionals here for you to help that along as well. You know, so, you know, definitely, you know, I definitely want to encourage, you know, our people in our community to definitely, you know, take your mental health, you know, seriously. But one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, I wanted to direct this to Dr. Johnson, because you said this in your intro. You said, and forgive me if I misquote, but you said you want to live well during the struggle. And that hit me. I guess the question that I have for you is, how do you actually do that? How do you live well in the midst of struggle and stress? You know, because I mean, typically for me, it would be to have like that free time, you know, to have that me time. But when you get older, you have more responsibilities, you have a kid and things of that nature. It feels like that free time gets less and less. You know, or there may be other, you know, extremities or things that may, you know, block, you know, those opportunities. So I guess, what's the process of living well, you know, while you're in the struggle?
Thank you for that question. And thank you for sharing your story too. I think that, you know, I realize that everyone is not going to go to counseling. And so, but for those of us, for those individuals that don't go, or those that do go, one of the things is the self-awareness piece. And then being able to articulate that you're going through a struggle in it, and identify what your problems are. So you feel like you have the stress. You're determining that you're struggling. Do you need to go and talk to someone? We all talk about self-care, and even as a clinician, we talk about our own self-care. And so that's where it comes into play. We can schedule everything else out in our life, and I understand we all have to work and we have to take care of our children. But if we don't take care of ourselves first, some of those things aren't going to happen for you. The whole thing about putting the life vest on before you put somebody else's vest on, you're going to have to do that. So that means you start with baby steps. So what I always suggest to anybody that I'm working with, you might not be able to do everything at one time, but map out 15 minutes a day, start it out for 15 minutes, and then gradually increase that time to 30 minutes until an hour to half a day. And so, and maybe you can't get a half a day. Maybe that's not realistic for you, but try to build it up to an hour where you're doing something for yourself. Find that hour for you, because you cannot pour from an empty cup. Just like my husband was saying, and you guys were saying, you're going to keep going and going and going, and pretty soon your body is going to tell you, I can't do this anymore. And right. It's going to shut down, and your mind will too. So you have to start with the baby steps first. And that's really practical. The other thing that I usually tell people that are being stressed, and as a behavior analyst, we talk about things that you enjoy doing. So if you enjoy reading a book or gardening or painting or taking a walk, then do those things for 15 or 20 minutes.
Right.
And I know we always talk about mindfulness. It's some value in sitting down and meditating and focusing on what is going on with you, around you, the sounds, or just eating something and enjoying the food that you're eating. Right. These are simple things that we take for granted, but you can do it. Another thing I talk about is progressive muscle relaxation. So you would take each muscle group and tighten them, and then you would release them. Until you have done that with your whole body. And so you start there with the small things, and then you build up to larger things. And if you can't manage it yourself, then you go and seek help so that you can have someone to help you manage all of those things. The other thing I want to say is at times we focus on everything that's going wrong in our life. And that's easy to do when there's a lot of bad things that's happening. Right. But you can, I talk to my clients about starting a journal or a gratitude journal. So you have to be very intentional about, okay, these things are bad in my life, but what's going good? What can I look forward to? What can I do? Can I plan out a bigger trip later? And so, or can I plan out a day with my sibling or a good friend, you know? So we just have to be very intentional about taking care of ourselves. And those are some of the old things that you can do that lead up to greater things.
Hey, babe, can you touch on the affirmation board, how they can start that? That's something how they start their day off with.
The affirmation board?
Yeah, like you know, what we have on the dresser mirror.
So what we've done is just like you've all heard of a vision board, we started an affirmation board on our mirror. So we put some quotes, some of our favorite quotes, to address our mind, our body, our spirit. And we put those quotes up on our mirror so that when we get up and we get dressed in the morning, we're looking at that piece of paper or those quotes to remind ourselves. I also do that at work. One of my favorite quotes is by Les Brown. And when I started a new job last year, I was very uncomfortable because I had worked 17 years in outpatient mental health with those who were chronically ill. And here I am working on a college campus and everything was new to me. And I felt incompetent a little bit because I had never worked in higher ed. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, it was scary. So I wrote something down from Les Brown and it said, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. Mm. And so it just took me taking that step and reframing my way of thinking. And I have that posted on my desk and I look at that every day. Anytime I would take a test for an exam or anytime that I needed to do something big, I will post that on my wall. And the same thing with my husband. We will post it in the kitchen, post it in our bedroom, post it in the bathroom. And we will read that so it could be ingrained in our brain and that we're not focusing on the negative part of it because we know bad things happen in life. But we wanted to focus on a different message and to teach our brain something different. And so we do practice what we preach.
Dr. Brown, I'm sorry. Could you say that quote one more time? I'm a quote person, so I'm trying to.
Sure. It's by Les Brown, and I might not exactly have it right, but what he said was, "You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great."
Gotcha. Thank you. Yeah, and that's funny that you said that because you know I kind of you know when I get down or I feel like. You know, things are kind of building up for me. It's a quote that I always result back to. I'm not sure exactly. I know it was one of Dr. King's children that said it, but it loosely goes like this. It just says, "Let the love of God anchor you above all the noises of life." You know, so a lot of times, like I'll say that to myself, and for whatever reason, whatever kind of stress I was dealing with, it goes away. You know, because I embody. And I try to embody what that quote is telling me, you know, so I definitely do agree. And I think what you were saying is something that I may start incorporating, you know, by actually putting that visual up, you know, so I can make it, you know, like a habit. You know, I think it'd be great for my wife to see it, too. You know, so, you know, I definitely going to start incorporating and, you know, that into my daily routine.
Yeah.
So
First
and foremost, William, I know you handle all the background stuff. So make sure that you bill Earl $9 for that session that he just had on there with Dr. Johnson.
Hey, bruh, that bill is on his way. You hear me?
if you need his full legal name or address, hit me up. I can send you all that. Make sure that you get paid fully and compensated
My name is James Lunderman.
Oh, man.
So what I wanted to say is being the fact that I'm gonna throw the William line out there too, you know, I'm not licensed, I'm not a therapist, you know, however, I mean I do have I have training in several different aspects from my previous job over the past 18 years, and I can deal with crisis intervention on a lot of scales. But once again, like I said, me just having certifications and training is not the same as being licensed. But so to deal with the people that have a crisis, and typically everybody who comes to you is somebody in a crisis situation, whether they realize it or not. Anybody that needs to come to you and speak about any type of mental health, anything that's going on in their personal life, in their job, any type of aspect that they need advice from you, they're dealing with some type of crisis, whether it be small, whether it be big. And a lot of times people just don't realize that that's what it is, that it's a crisis they're dealing with at that time. So to just put it out there in a general way of letting the listeners know, we all deal with crisis. We all deal with stress. It's a part of everyday living. Some people handle it better than others. But obviously, the first step is trying to identify and realize that you're in that situation, in that crisis. So for our listeners, when they finally realize that they are in that crisis and they realize that they need to seek help in reference to it, can you just kind of, and this is for Dr. Johnson, can you just kind of give them the general steps that they should go about as far as looking to get a therapist and how they go about finding themselves a therapist?
Yeah, sure. So there are a number of ways. So if your listeners are in Maryland, there's a hotline, a text line, 211, and it's loaded with resources on anything from getting a therapist to food resources and everything in between. I am a part of a network called Psychology Today. So sometimes people find me there where my profile picture is there, and also the treatment modalities that I use. And then there are also other individuals, other therapists that are listed on that website. But you can also just type in on Google, do a Google search for your area for therapists, and it may pull up some different agencies. Oftentimes, though, when you do that, you're going to find not the bigger box agencies, but those agencies that are not like a mom and pop like we are. That's more a little bit more intimate, and you only have one or two therapists on staff. Those are still okay to go to, just as long as you need help. But your local hospitals will have the resources. Your what we call our core service agencies. So any place like that will be able to help you locate those resources. What we've done, and what I wanted to mention, I know that we talked about communities of color and being able to find someone that you can relate to. I'm a part of this coalition, and it is called COPE. And what we did was pull together some other entrepreneurs and therapists of color pulled together. So that we can go out and say, hey, we do exist. We are here. We're on the shore. If you need someone, come and talk to us. Sometimes somebody has a specialty area that I don't. I had someone to reach out to me seeking therapy for postpartum depression. I can treat that person. However, I have a colleague who does a better job at that than I do. And what I want from people is meet their need and not serve people because I'm trying to build up clientele. And so I referred her out to this other agency who specializes in postpartum depression. But yeah, so you could do a basic Google search and find community providers and sometimes your health departments will have that information. Sometimes your schools, your local schools will have that information. So you just reach out to those different places. Police departments sometimes will have that information. So working in the field for so long, the therapist will go out and send that information out to those local providers. So that's how you can locate a therapist.
Doctor,
really good question.
Hey, Eric, can I add something to that right quick?
Go ahead.
I just think another thing is too is that people need to remember when they are seeking that help. It's okay if the initial person that you make contact with isn't a fit for you.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, you're the most important person in that equation. You know, of course, agencies are going to provide services. You know, folks are going to want you to come on as the client. However, if you have to find someone who is the best fit for you to meet your needs, and it may take you having to consult with a couple of different therapists before you find the one that is best fit for you. Yep. So, you know, a good thing that you know that my wife does is that if she meets with a client and she doesn't feel that it's a good fit, she will give them other options. Or if they feel that it's not a good fit, give them advice on, you know, how to reach out to someone else. And if you're dealing with an agency that is not going to be that caring, and when I say that caring, I mean understanding that we may not be a good fit, let me help direct, let me help you put you in the right direction of someone that could be a good fit. And just be mindful when you're dealing with that type of agency.
Gotcha. I had a question for you, because this is something that, you know, we do actively now. I don't even realize it. That being the use of social media and how that is a immense impact on the mental health of a lot of people, whether they know it or not. With that being said, you know, last year we spent all of 2020, everybody being practically locked down. So you utilize a lot of digital, you know, hardware and such. And, you know, you've seen the rapid growth of stuff like every app from Instagram, the Snapchat, TikTok, and all this other stuff in the world. And then what you often see is you see a lot of imagery and content that isn't really good for, you know, to be digested at the pace that it is. So how do you, you know, how do you, Dr. Johnson, how do you, I guess, adapt to that change in narrative? Or how often do you see someone comes in, like, you know, you see that, you know, whether it's depression or like their self-esteem, how do you adapt to, I guess, to that growing trend of people who actually, a lot of their mental health is actually affected by what they consume, especially from a social media and digital age that we're in now?
Yeah, so I deal a lot with that with our college students. That's the language that they speak, is the social media, and you know, often they feel like their life is ruined by it, and it could be because of what either they put out there or what somebody else has put out there. And so, what we have to focus on is try to get them to focus on is one, we do some education about it. Like, listen, this stuff can follow you wherever you go in your life. So you really have to be careful about what you do post. The other thing is taking a break from social media is, you know, that's hard for them to have them to take a break, but their whole identity is wrapped up into that. And so what I would have them to do is just to do an exercise of, I do something called I am. Who do you think you are? And you list that thing, you list it out. And who do you think people think you are? And where do you want to be? And so having them to identify what their strengths are and where they want to be and how they see themselves is what we will focus on, rather than focusing on what is on social media and what people are saying and how you should look and how you should be. Right. What are your goals? What are you hoping to achieve? And so that's the conversations that I have with young people. But quite often, you know, when they come into my office, it's always about somebody said this on Snap or somebody said this on Twitter. So, you know, we do have those conversations.
Okay. All right. What do you get? What do you got, Dave? Or Earl, in this case. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I do have one. So because I work with a lot of kids, and I know Brother Johnson, you, I think I was reading that you work with kids as well, I believe, or juveniles. Mental health is, it affects everybody, you know, and I guess from Dr. Johnson, from your clinical standpoint, how do you approach kids that are dealing with like mental health? Because I mean, this and honestly, it's something that I see every day. And honestly, every day I'm hit with a new challenge, and I try to hit them from, you know, think outside the box and be creative, because, you know, they're also growing and developing. You know, so you, it's only but so much you could actually put on them. So I just wanted to kind of get your thought on, you know, how do you approach kids that are dealing with mental health?
So I don't work with the little ones as much now, but when I did work with them, repetition is the key. And as an educator, you would definitely know that. And as a parent, you would know that with kids. So when I worked in a program, we would have groups, and what we, education is the other piece of it. And we would teach them skills, whether it's social skills or independent living skills or anything. So I think with just like with anybody else, it's just kids have to be able to trust you. You have to build that relationship with them, and you'll have their ear a lot more. If they don't feel like you come from a place of care, and that they feel like they're not being heard and they're being dismissed, then they're not going to hear a lot from you. They're not going to hear anything from you. But when you build that relationship with young people and you're just having these conversations, then you're going to be able to pour more into them. But it just takes some time, and you're going to have some patience, especially with kids that have been diagnosed or and have ADHD and things like that. Right. We also need to make sure we educate our educators, and they do a wonderful job, our teachers do, and we can support them by saying, this is what this looks like when you have a kid that has, ADHD or opposition defiance, because we do have to approach them in a different way. Not right. that we single them out, but approach them in a different way and have a different plan for them. But just to go back to what I was saying with working with kids over the years, it takes building a relationship. So you might have to do things out of the box, like go and play basketball with them or play a board game, because you're not going to have a regular therapy conversation with a child right. like you would an adult. Right. They're not just going to sit down with you for 30, 45, 60 minutes and talk about their feelings. But they may do that over a game of Connect Four or over a video game. So it has to be it has to be interactive.
Right.
Find a rap song or find a love song or find a poem or something that they enjoy doing and have them talk about it and what that means to them. And so that's the way we have to approach kids.
Right. No, I agree. There definitely has to be that connection, before you can, pour out or before they can pour out.
That's right.
Now, I could say, honestly, I could have this conversation for a long time. So I know we're not going to be able to get everything within this episode. But I will say, three out of the four of us, if they don't mind me sharing, we've already put it out in the podcast. Three out of the four of us have lost our fathers on this podcast. And we're also all fathers ourselves. But we've all dealt with loss, especially with COVID going on and a lot of different loss that's going on within the world in general. The fellas don't know, but actually today is my dad's 5-year anniversary of his passing. And my son has recently been asking me questions about like life, death, racism, et cetera. Just any TV, you could turn on cartoons today and it's just showing something. So while treading lightly on my answer to him, I'm a very open and honest person with my son, and he's about to be 10 in April. And I think I do that more because I felt like a lot of things were held from me as a kid and I had to find out myself. And I felt that was kind of a harsh way to find out, as if people weren't being open and honest with you. So that's why I'm very open with my son, even at his age. Do you find that to be a good thing? And how lightly should I tread on that, protecting his mental health, but also opening up the world to him? And that's a question for both of you.
Dave, you want to go first or you want me to go?
I guess I'll start it off. I too lost my father back in 2009. And, the wife can tell you that was a very dark time for me.
Right.
I went to work every day. I did what I was supposed to do, but heavy drinking, withdrawn from the family. Thank God for a good woman that I have.
Lessons on that, amen in it.
So when it comes to it, and we raised a boy and a girl, 25 and 22. I believe 23. 23.
Yeah, it happens. It happens, bro. Trust me, I was looking at a calendar when I said 10.
I'll tell you, bro. But you know, I've always been the kind of a straight up person. You know, I never wanted to hide things from my children. There were some things that, of course, children aren't ready for that we've discussed with them in their older years.
Right.
But you know, me personally, I think it's good to be open and honest with your children. But just remember, when you're doing that, don't talk to them in an adult way. Right. Just use terminology that they're going to be able to understand, because at the end of the day, it's all about the message. You know, are they receiving the message, or are they receiving the lesson that you want to teach them? And right. I found that a lot of our young people are actually very resilient, but sometimes mm-hmm. we as adults try to protect them so much, we don't right. give them an opportunity to show us how resilient they are.
Right.
You know, so as for me, you know, I would just have that conversation, process it with them in their way. And I want them to understand that, you know, it's okay to feel the way you feel. And I think that's what we fail to do with some of our children, is we tell our boys, man up, don't cry. You know yeah. what? It's okay to cry.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're keeping all this stuff built inside of you. When it comes out, man, look out.
Yeah.
You know, we're teaching our girls, you know, make sure that they have self-worth. You know, make sure that they understand that they can accomplish things. Just talk to them and get that message across to them, but just do it in a way in which they're going to be able to understand it. And as long as they know that no matter what, I can call up mom or dad, because even at 25 and 23, we still get the phone calls. We still yeah. have the family meeting. We still have our conversations. That's building that in them at a young age, so that when they do go through their real crisis, like, you know, not having a girlfriend for them is a crisis. Ooh, yeah, big deal. But when they get 25, 23, 24, and they're going through the trials of their first apartment, and I might be a little short on my rent, but I don't want to call mom and pop, because then they're going to ask me, why am I short, and give me the lecture. But they do it anyway, because they trust you, because you've developed that relationship with them and you've been honest with them throughout the entire process.
Right.
So I would just say, for anyone, be open, be honest with your children, just do it in a delicate, loving way, so that they understand that no matter what they tell you, or no matter what they go through, mom and pop, they're gonna take time to understand and respect my feelings and respect where I'm coming from. Now, in our community, that's a change from the old school. The old school was, do what I say because I said it.
Right.
I don't want to hear this, I don't want to hear that. You know, so that's us changing that process, because we are getting better educated as parents, and we're able to pass that on to our children. And then that's how we're going to change, not just with our own family, that's going to extend to the outside the family, into our general community and our general culture.
Yeah,
I would agree with all of that, and I don't have too much more to add to it. I just wanted to point out, look, just like you said, children are more resilient than what we think they are. And and you know your children, you know your child, you know how much they can handle. I don't think it serves them well, or, you know, you well, if you hold everything back from them. How do they learn to grow? How do they learn to manage life? Just like my husband said, if we don't share anything with them, they're not going to be able to manage those things later on in life, because they haven't learned how to do that. This is a good place for them while they're there with you. Because you're their parent, you love them, you're going to teach them well and see no harm from them, for them. Mm. So, yes, of course, there are some things for very little ones that you don't want to share. But even then, you can still teach them something about what's going on, because they do see it. Children see more than what you think they do.
Yep.
And then they come back and they say it to you, and you're like, where'd you get that from? So it's better for them to be in a place where you're teaching and modeling that good behavior and way of that they can express themselves instead of the world teaching them to do that. So, absolutely.
Hey, William.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you tell us about the time, or if you indeed sought advice from your wife, and if so, just kind of what advice you sought from your wife about approximately maybe about 2 years ago when I was traumatizing you for months for long days, endless nights. Tell them about the PTSD that you still suffer from when you hear my voice come across on the phone or when you see my face in person. Can you just elaborate and be openly with us about your personal experience and how that seems to go on in your life now?
Man, look, my wife is my silent LB, you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, you know, she's spring of 95, so
I'm about to say she SGRO,
She's old school SGRO, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So she definitely understands the process, man. But I tell you, you know, she has been a sounding board for me for years, for the past, 18 years this year. 18 years come March. 18 years. And, you know, I use her skills. Sometimes when I'm helping understand something that a clinician may have said, or if I'm trying to understand and process things with, you know, in life in general, she's always wearing that hat and has always had my back and covered my sick, you know. So I'm just thankful for her. Thankful to be a part of this process and be on this journey with her. And she helped me through the process is the best way I can say it. Because some nights, boy, you're like, man, look, these dudes just don't know. This Marine about to come out in me. and she would just say, it ain't going to last forever.
So that's facts.
I would go back.
Hey, it never is.
Hey, but before we let y'all go, I always got to ask this question out there, because I feel like some of this that comes on TV is actually mental health for me. I know you watch one episode of This Is Us, and you got a couple sessions on your hand right there. But right now, what are you guys binging, or what do you have in your playlist right now?
Oh my gosh, you believe this? Oh my gosh, this man, I'm not binging it.
She about to shout you out.
And I love it. Hip hop. Like a queen and puts me on a pedestal, but Star Trek. Really, they have like five or six different Star Treks, and we watch every 100th episode of the five and six different Star Treks every day.
Hey, Discovery, where is it?
Every day.
Do you hear how she's saying it? Well,
every day. Like,
I'm with you, Will. I'm with you on the Star Trek.
I might have a problem. I might need some counseling myself. Right,
every right. day. But hey, me, Paramount Plus is about to come up. Watched Bridgerton.
Yes.
I don't know if y'all heard about that. That's like,
I know about that. I got caught off guard because the first episode came on and my son was right upstairs about to come downstairs, and we said, and I'll just leave it right there. I'll leave it right there.
He about to tell his whole mental health all the hell at that point. I don't even like it. What is this?
Don't hurt the baby. Don't hurt the baby. Right. Don't
spoil
it too soon. You got to tread light.
I didn't know it was like that. Bridgerton is real. I'll just say that.
It is real. I mean, I watch other stuff too. Don't tell my parents because I'm a PK. But that's like one of my guilty pleasures is Bridgerton.
You start speaking in the accent and everything.
Oh my God, man, it's been great, man. Of course, Dr. Johnson and Mr. Johnson, we appreciate you guys coming on with us. But I cannot let you go without asking you to plug your business, plug your contact, let the people know where they can find Living Well Counseling and come sit down with you. Thank you, Sultan.
Go ahead, Dr. Johnson.
So, yes, Living Well Counseling and Consulting Services. We have an office right in Cambridge, Maryland. It's 503-5304 Cedar Drive. We have a beautiful office co-located with another clinician who does all child therapy. And then I also see individuals online because we're in COVID. So I do also have a website. And you can reach me at 410-829-4059, or you can email me at malkia.johnson@livingwellccs.com. So there's a number of different ways. Or look me up on Psychology Today and type my name in, and you'll find me there as well.
Awesome.
And you can also check out our Facebook page as well.
All right. We'll be sure to plug you guys. We appreciate you guys again for joining us on episode 24 of the All Black Everything series.
Well, I got one thing. I can't let them go without this. First of all, shout out SG Rowe, because my wife is an SG Rowe. shout out to you. And one time, Blue Five, Brother William.
Blue Five. Yes.
You know.
Hold on. So he got a response in last time. Ain't this so stuff? Mike, where you at? Mike Waller, where you at, baby?
Oh, my God.
We might help you out of this. You know what I'm
saying? We appreciate you guys coming on with tonight. Enjoy the rest of the night. We look forward to speaking with you again, okay?
Appreciate you guys.
It was all our pleasure.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate it. Have a good time.
I appreciate it.
Like I said, send that invoice to James Lunderman.
There you go.
I'm going to send it to him, too. All right, now.
All right.
Y'all take care.
All right.
Be safe.
All right, peace. All right.
Stay well, everybody.
Thank you.
You too. All
right.
Bye-bye.
Of course, you're listening to the Hot Seat Podcast with your boys Sean, Earl, Eric, and Dave. Episode 24 of the All Black Everything series brought to you by All Black Everything and Wise Guy Cigars. Make sure you do go online to allblackeverything247.com for their wonderful, wonderful selection of men and women apparel. Like, if you have not already, go to allblackeverything247.com. Fellas, great conversation. Great conversation.
Look, I'm going to let you know right now, I didn't even make a cut into my questions.
It's hard to do, man.
There is so many. I felt like we really just had a session right there. Right. All joking aside, I know we were joking about the invoice thing. Yeah, it's real.
The funny thing, I was about to go deeper, then I had to realize, like, hold on, you know.
Right, look. In real life, when you go to therapy, you get, you don't even get a whole hour. You get like 59 minutes, name it up. You get to write to that little part, they'd be like, until next week. Dun, dun, dun. Like, what the hell just happened? I don't know.
It's like Dragon Ball Z, bro.
Right, because
It take you like 25 minutes to warm up in the
first. Right.
Yeah, man.
Like, how you feeling?
You only get like 42.
Right, and you spend 15 minutes crying because, you know, Chadwick Boseman, you know, was gone or something. Like, I don't know what's happening. It's crazy, this man. Yeah, oh, man. So, of course, man, going to our next segment, and if you guys haven't heard it already, it's the Blackout segment of the All Black Everything series. This is where we come in and highlight some of the most influential, not-so-well-known Black people. And it being Black History Month, we're going to keep it rolling. They could be people, A-listers nationwide, or it could be people that you really, really don't know. Who wants to start off tonight? Who has somebody tonight? What you got, Earl? I see it.
Okay. So I'm going to go with a young lady by the name of Ivory Campbell. She has a company called Fitness First. Her slogan is, what you see is how you fit. She does everything from meal prepping to personal training. She has Vision Fitness, which is a combined dance fitness and also HIIT fitness and also group fitness classes. She services the Philadelphia, Delaware, New Jersey area. And you can reach her at her phone number at 267-912-8978. And her email is visionfitnessco. So that's visionfitnessco@gmail.com. She's also on IG at the Ivory Marie. So that's T-H-E-E-I-V-O-R-I MARIE. And then she has another IG where you can follow her and DM her at FITUN. So that's FITTYOUIN. And again, her name is Ivory Campbell, Fitness First.
I like it. I like it. Who got next? Who got next? Anybody? No? Yeah. What you got? What you got, Eric? I see it in your face.
All right. So y'all know that Vegas is my second home and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So no. It's not even what you think, Dave. I can see it on your face. So I'm not going to pull out the black owner of a strip club on this one. Nah. I mean, I could, you know, but I'm going to let that one ride.
Is the word.
Oh, my God.
So, all right. So there's a guy named Minister Stretch Sanders.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Really?
Where's this going?
That's what we doing. You're messing up my mental health, buddy.
Sorry. All right. Here we go. So Minister Stretch Sanders is the founder of Muir Las Vegas. Okay. Stop.
What?
He's the founder of New Era Las Vegas. And so what this is 18 businesses right now out there in Las Vegas Valley that have gotten together. And what they've come together to do across the valley is create what's called safe zones. Now, these local shops that are all black owned are putting up signs in their windows, their safe zones. And these places go from barber shops to therapist offices to music shops to supermarkets. And what it is they're letting the community know that as a safe zone, if you're a person that's dealing with domestic violence or any type of trauma that might be going on, any type of, you know, critical incident might be going, any type of crisis, you can go inside of one of these businesses and seek shelter. They will, for the most part, they sat there and said that, hey, if you need to hide behind the counter, if they need to put you up in the back room because you're trying to escape your abuser or you're trying to escape the person that's trying to cause you harm, you go into one of these local 18 shops there and they'll make sure that they can stash you away so that way that person that's seeking to harm you can't get to you, and then they'll contact local authorities to come out there to pretty much help you get through that type of situation. So shout out to Minister Stretch Sanders for coming together and getting these 18 black owned businesses to put together this out in Las Vegas to where they've made a safe area and a safe zone in that community. Like I said, it's my second home out there. So I'm really trying to go and check out a couple of these places the next time I get out there.
Word.
Dope. What you got, Dave? What you got? Oh, actually, right. Yeah, what you got?
Well, I always got to go after Eric with the...
Stretch Sanders.
That came
Minister
all the way
Stretch
around.
Stretch Sanders. One more time for him.
We're fancy now.
Oh, man. All right. So, I definitely want to give it up to Dr. Kismikia Corbett. Corbett, actually. She's an immunologist that helped design the Moderna vaccine for COVID-19. Actually, that one right now. Before the outbreak, she actually worked in the U.S. National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. But the biggest thing for her that I like, and it actually leads into the conversation that we just had, some of the biggest misconceptions of what goes on is just through the education or the lack thereof of what's going on. And they were talking about that within mental health. You know, we always put the stigma out there as far as crazy and things like that. Well, it's the same thing with the vaccine. You hear me talk, you know, skeptical in my ways of the vaccine, but I'm definitely going to give my props to her because what she does that's extra is she spends a lot of her off time educating specifically our community on sciences and different things within the vaccine and how it was tested. She says, it's not about what you're saying. It's about how you relate to people that you're saying it to. And I think that's correct because you can't walk into every single household or every single environment and give the same message and hope that they receive it the same way. You got to speak on their level, not saying anything is higher than another one. Right. But I'm just saying you got to approach me in a certain type of way for me to actually absorb it. So that's why I kind of chose her, because right now, in case you don't know the numbers, over 70%. Think about this for a moment. Over 70% of people that work within the nursing homes, which got the first dosage of the vaccines, over 70% of them declined. Think about that. Over 70%. Then, right now, we're doing a push for schools to open, and I'm all for the schools opening, don't get me wrong. But you just went through the fact of doing the first line of giving out the vaccinations, and over 70% said no. And the teachers are the ones saying, we want it before schools open back up. And they're like, oh, no. You guys aren't essential. But we want to open up the schools, but we're not going to give it to you yet. You can get it with the general population. Kind of backwards to me. And I mean, even my mom right now, you know, my mom got her first shot, and now they just told her this last week that they don't even have a second shot available. This is crazy.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. So if a certain time period goes past, she has to start it all over again.
Right.
That's why we're with the Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, just one and done. So you get to the point where, you know, this is just not rolled out right. It's not the fact that people are saying, hey, this vaccine is going to kill me and stuff like that. It's the simple fact that you guys don't have it in line. If you're going to tell me a couple weeks ago that, you know, the vaccine may run out your second shot, but you can mix it. Say what? You can mix it with what?
Coke.
That's what they were just saying a couple weeks back. If you run out, you may be able to mix it with another vaccine.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. Go check it. That's facts. You can go Google that. Nah. They released that a couple weeks ago.
I'm officially not messing with this vaccine.
So I'm not trying to steer anybody any type of way, but it's the way that things are released. It's the knowledge of it. Because if you go back within our culture, we were fed lies all this time up to this point. And I mean, there were certain, you know, certain experiments, I'm just going to put it out there like that, that were ran on us thinking that it was just a regular, we're just doing health studies. Like the Tuskegee experiment and stuff like that, the syphilis. So I put it out there because you have to educate the people before you just throw things out there. So I definitely give it up, I should say, to Dr. Kizmikia Corbett, because she's actually educating people within the community that she's serving, and she helped come up with the fact of the vaccine.
I don't know how the hell I'm supposed to follow that at all.
I'm sorry, I was ranting, bro.
You ain't lying.
Tell him why you mad.
Tell him why you mad. I ain't lying. All right, so last week, if you guys heard, we actually had Greg Bryan on from Brand News. He's from our hometown of Newport News, Virginia. So I thought to keep it in that same vein. So a gentleman that you may not know, but you've watched a lot of his work. So my highlight this week is actually going to be Mr. Christopher Schaefer. I know him personally. I used to work with him as well. And if you've watched, Earl might have seen it. So back in 2013, DJ Jazzy Jeff did the actual Vinyl Destination, where he pretty much went all across the globe. And it was like a docu-series type thing there. And it was showing where he DJed, I mean, everywhere across the country. Well, Christopher Schaefer was his guy, his videographer. That watching that, and I remember watching it at the time, you would think they had a crew, just one guy. If you watched the most recent Fresh Prince of Bel-Air thing that happened on HBO Max, correct me if I'm wrong, and there was actually, they did like a edit. Yeah, there was an edit on it. It was showing like, you know, like a, I want to say like a promo leading up to it. That was Chris. If anybody remember the actual video with Pusha T and Rick Ross on there, it was called Millions. That was Chris. One of the dopest eyes I've ever seen. He actually, when I first seen him do his first work, he was doing a lot of, I seen some of like the local guys from around the way. But his hands has touched so many things. And most recently, and I think we all watched it, Skills Wrap Up that just happened. That was Chris who did that. Yes, absolutely. He's a monster, man. He is the behind the camera guy, down to earth, but he is one of the most creative, and his eye is just otherworldly from his work. You can actually, if you want to see some of his additional work on this, everything he's done, whether it's from editing, whether it's from directing and such, you can go to the website is ChristopherSchaefer.com. It's spelled C-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R Schaefer, S-C-H-A-F-E-R.com. Christopher Schaefer on Instagram, or you can get VA Beans on Twitter. Wonderful. That's why I'm spotlighting this week. It's hometown. Another creator. I mean, he's excellent, man. I'm understating it.
I'm impressed that you shouted out Skills, but that's an inside joke.
Oh man. But anyway, man.
What's going on in your background?
Whose background? What's happening right now? What you mean?
Hey, keep on going.
I'm trying to.
I'm just happy.
We can all see what's going on behind you, but keep on going.
Okay, I'm not okay. All right, cool. All right, I don't know. I get no pole in the background, I don't think. But any case, man, I guess you guys listen to Hot Seat Podcast. Minister Stretch Sanders. Yeah. I'm playing that music from here on out. Here on out, when it's time to do the thing, be like, hey, girl. This gonna be that's so again, man. We hope you guys are appreciating this wonderful journey. Next week is going to be the finale, the series finale. Is we're going to have on our wonderful sponsor, Mr. Ray Farmer from All Black Everything and Wise Guy Cigars. We're gonna be wrapping up season 2. This will be our 25th episode. Look at that. We started back in September. I'll be damned. We had 25 episodes, fellas. It's a glorious time. It's going to be fun. We're wrapping up the series at the same time. So make sure you tap in. And again, make sure you check out allblackeverything247.com, as well as all of the other guests we've had on. We make sure we post their links in the extra show notes each week. Hey. Now, of course, go ahead.
Hey, we got to hurry up because Earl's mom want to use the kitchen.
No, she's smart.
Oh my God.
Nobody took this
life. Oh my gracious. So of course, man, all this couldn't have happened, man, if we had decided to take our 10-year plus relationship across Xbox Live. Again, I ain't got my Xbox yet. And bring it to the podcast world. It's so.
You have an Xbox, though.
I mean, true. I got a Dreamcast, too. But, hey, I'm not complaining. It is what it is.
Be grateful. Yeah, I mean, grateful.
Whatever. But in any case, man, you can find me on Sanaa 2X on Xbox Live. I'm playing everything right now. If it's playable, I'm playing it. So I'm playing Forza Horizon 4. I'm playing PGA 2K21. I'm playing Goat Simulator. Injustice 2. Damn it, I'm back on my video game-ish. Doom, everything. Shout out to Bethesda Games for Doom. That's actually pretty good. We want you on the show. We want you on the show. We got some big things happening in season 3, but we'll get to that on a later date. But again, Sanaa 2X or Xbox Live, what you got, Dave?
Hey, the storyteller here. Yeah, definitely gaming some more on that new Xbox. Sorry, Sean. Gears 5, downloaded that. Definitely going to have to open that up.
That's what I'm going to do.
Definitely on that Forza also. Hey, if you haven't checked it out, also, my son and I are killing Overcooked and Overcooked 2. Love that game. It is addictive.
Right.
Earl.
First of all, you're going to address me not as Earl. But as a champ. As the champ. Matter of fact, no, I'm sorry. As the back-to-back Drake two-time champ. You know, they was hating on me, if y'all remember in the beginning. They was, you know, I was the punching bag. You know what I'm saying? I was the one that was getting clowned. But, you know, no, because I got 5 chips. You know what I'm saying? I got five chips in the back.
I think that deserves a shout out right there. Earl, one second. Hold on. I got one. Hold on. Wait for it.
You better do me right. No.
I can't find him. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, okay. It's funny because the person that's hating on me the most, he can't get out the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
But anyway.
Right.
Wow. You know what I'm saying? Right. Anyway, I'm gonna leave it there. You know, you can find me at NJ Fatboy 973.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I know these cats don't want no problems. So you know what? I got a little bit of time for anybody that wanna try their luck out.
I don't like your attitude right now. Your confidence sucks. I don't like your mental health right now. I don't like
No, my mental health is good.
By the way, this dude drove down to his mom's house and then drove back up to his house to get his Xbox to drive back to his mom's house.
See, Microsoft, we dedicated gamers.
They got 1-800
dedicated. Right, you do.
Nah, because I'm going to be down here for a couple of days. I need my games.
We dedicated.
And I'm on vacation.
We dedicated.
Get out of my bed. Get out of my bed.
But they say cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Oh my God. What you got, E, man? What you got?
So on that next gen, man, I'm loving that new view. That rail view, man, that view is off the chain. I'm loving it on the next gen 2K. So, and I'm actually having a very good time with the WNBA league on there as well. So,
shout out to WNBA, man.
So I'm down for it. I know that, you know, I'm going to leave it at that. The real view is all the chain, and the WNBA part is all the chain. I'm going to leave it at that.
Fair enough. Fair enough, man. Make sure you guys continue. I say start, but continue to listen, follow, and share on any platform that you listen to. We're available on iHeartRadio, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts in this case, Spotify Podcast, Google, Alexa. You can just tell Alexa, hey, play Hot Tea Podcast, and she can hook you up. Deezer. And soon to come, we'll be on Pandora as well. Hey, we everywhere. So there's no excuse why you're not listening to the Hot Seat Podcast. We are the podcast. You didn't know you needed. And we need you. So we appreciate you guys. So again, it's been a wonderful night. It's the All Black Everything episode series. We'll get at you. It's the Hot Seat.
The Hot Seat.